since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Going to shift that Monday basketball talk and get you out of the final 10 games of the regular season. Can you believe it? It's almost time for playoff basketball as we get to the end of March. I think there's some news that really could impact a lot of teams that will not be going to the postseason today in the NBA. We're going to touch on that. We'll also take a look at the way things are shaping up as we get into this final little mini stretch before the play-in round. Joining us right now over the phone, as he does each week, we have James Holas. He's our NBA analyst. And James, it's always great to get you back on. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on. It's hard for me to understand you, man. As a team that wins a lot, the Celtics, I have a hard time understanding teams that lose a lot. So make sure you speak slowly so I can understand the when you talk to me. Thanks.
Yeah, and that's a direct reference to what the Los Angeles Lakers have done as of late. My goodness, they have not played good basketball. Now they've dropped 7 out of their last 10. I know yesterday, not a great showing. There was a stretch where they were outscored 40-15 or something of that nature by the Orlando Magic. I can handle a game like that, James. I'm going to go back to what happened on Saturday night against the Chicago Bulls. That was one of the poorest showings I have seen from a Los Angeles Laker team in the LeBron James era, which is saying something because there have been some very bad losses. But that game on Saturday night was absolutely atrocious in every syllable of the word. It was awful.
You know what it is, man? I think right now, the honeymoon period is kind of over. And the team, there's that initial bounce of excitement when Luka and I traded, and that just positivity, the vibes were immaculate. We're seeing a return to normalcy, and some of the warts are starting to show. Shout out to Anthony Irwin. I don't know if you know who he is. He's on social media too, and he brought this up, the first honeymoon period. Now it's over. You see the warts, and you have decisions to make. And Luka's not playing defense again. The same problems that were there before Luka's still there. There's not enough perimeter defense. Point of attack defense is an issue. You're playing Luka and Austin Reeves. Teams can just pick their poison. Pick their dessert, who they want to feast on. There's still no rim protection, right? The nice little bounce for Jackson Hayes, but we see who he really is. He's not a starting quality center. The same problem's there. And, of course, LeBron's just getting back. It's taking time to get his legs back under him after missing 7 games. He looks pretty athletic and spry, but his timing seems to be a bit off. And, yeah, I feel like the team just thought they can come back and say, oh, we're back again. We were winning. I think, they went 10 of 12 before.
Yeah.
LeBron got hurt. And so, we can just do that again. No, you gotta recapture it and you got to do the work. You can't skip steps. And I feel like mentally – the Lakers try to skip steps, and they got burned last two, I guess even 3 games. But they shouldn't have got beat the way they got beat that last game, too.
They do have one of the lowest point plus-minus differentials in the Western Conference. I believe they do have the lowest, if I'm not mistaken, among teams that are inside the top 6 right now. Maybe that's a little bit troublesome for this team. But you know what? I look at the Western Conference in general right now. Houston has won 9 out of 10. I know the Thunder are doing what they have done best. I think you throw Golden State in the mix. Those middle teams in the Western Conference, which have been there all season long, we're talking about the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, they're not playing outstanding basketball here at the end of March, and that could be worrisome, I think, for more teams than just L.A.
For sure, and it's funny, I've seen a lot of complaints about March basketball, but I'm not complaining because Boston's won 10 or 12. But, we see weird things as teams start kind of, either they're not jockeying for position, right, so they're not going to go pedal to the metal. They've already given up and they're tanking, so they're putting their worst lineups out there. They Chicago Bulls are they're playing hard, and so we're seeing results like the way they beat the Lakers the other day. Or they're maybe kind of wearing down a little bit, right? I think the Lakers have that kind of issue too, like LeBron's 40 and he's come back from an injury. So, and Luka looks a little tired maybe. And we're seeing that maybe some of these pieces, Luka had a team built very specifically around him, got to the finals. This team isn't built around Luka, and we're seeing some of the shortfalls and that negativity that comes with that. Not enough shooting, So it's weird basketball right now, and luckily for the Lakers, the teams around them aren't doing themselves any favors by kind of, scuffling along also. So some teams are going to get lucky and kind of back into the playoffs while other teams just play worse than they do.
James, you and I have talked about the Phoenix Suns. Over the last couple of months, we've been talking about this team, and I think we can agree, right, that this team is not as bad on paper as they have played, right? We agree on that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay,
so we agree on that. Here they are at 35-37. Devin Booker gets a big game winner for Phoenix. They needed that. They stay in that 10th spot, slightly above Dallas. I believe they have the same record right now. Dallas gets a win in Anthony Davis's return. But the Suns have now won four consecutive games. I do believe Phoenix is going to get in. I don't know if it's Sacramento. I don't know if it's Dallas. I don't know if it's Portland. Really, there's three teams competing for one spot, four teams competing for one spot, however you want to look at it. I think Phoenix gets in, and I kind of had this thought last night. I don't know if I would want to play them in the play-in round, which leads me to believe a team with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal gets into the postseason. I just can't believe that that would be an easy out for anyone if they find a way to get in. I know that this team has not played well. They're under 500 right now, but I just can't imagine wanting to go up against a team that has Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in the postseason. Am I wrong in thinking this?
You're not quite wrong, but a couple caveats. A big thing, they start playing much better once Bradley Beal went out with his latest injury.
True.
I think he's hit like 0 minutes in the last four games, and they've won four in a row. Look, let's be real. Front office made a terrible mistake, a grave mistake trading for Bradley Beal, and they're paying for it. Even now, him not being on the court is addition by subtraction, and it's terrible to say that, but something about the his style of play is very much an overlap of Devin Booker, and like a homeless man's Devin Booker, and it just saps the team, right? It makes them less than. It really does. Also, I feel like I don't know what coach was doing, Coach Bud was doing, but now, Dunn, the rookie, was almost, I think he was benched for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
He's a great defender. He plays off the ball, and now he's back in the rotation, and things are looking up. So, 100% with a player like Kevin Durant, like he basically beat the Bucks almost single-handedly the other night. So, against a team that doesn't have a great perimeter defender, him and Devin Booker are going to be an absolute handful. And, you've got to win four games. And those four games can be won on a handful of possessions. And a guy like Kevin Durant can really just kind of push those possessions. As great as LeBron is, as great as Luka is, neither one of them are the absolute cutthroat scorer like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And, they both have come up big in big playoff moments. So, yes, no team in the West other than OKC should really want to play a team like the Suns.
No, I mean, you look at Sacramento, yeah, bring it on, right? I think you feel the same way about Minnesota. Maybe you can even feel the same way about the Clippers, although they are playing better basketball as we hit this stretch trying to get out of the play-in round. In fact, right now, the Clippers are only three games back of the Lakers. They've erased that little deficit, and they did it in a hurry. I'm just looking at it right now and saying that's not a traditional 10 seed. That's what I'm saying about Phoenix. I guess that's the most simplistic way of putting it. It's not your traditional 10 seed in either conference, the West or the East.
Yes. Phoenix, and speaking on the Clippers, let's give them props, and a big part of that is the resurgence of Kawhi Leonard. They really slow-rolled him, and now they're starting to kind of really get him rolling at the perfect time, and he's looking a little bit like Kawhi Leonard rolled, right? But as far as same thing like the Suns, right? They have two top-flight players in James Harden, who's not what he used to be, but, he can reach those heights every now and then. They got Kawhi Leonard, and they have a strong defense around them. So they're almost like a bizarro version of each other, the Suns and the Clippers. They have a very high ceiling, but they also have a very low floor. And when it comes to the playoffs, short series, one sprained ankle could change everything. So the West, this is shaping up to be a lot better playoff run, stretch run than I thought it would be. Very entertaining.
Let's jump to the Eastern Conference. 10 teams are set. We talked about that last week. Atlanta, Orlando, Chicago, Miami, whatever order they're in, there's your four play-in teams, which means we get Cleveland, Boston, New York, Indiana, Milwaukee, Detroit. Last time we had you on, we talked about the Cavaliers having a chance to get to 70 wins. My, oh my, have times changed. They are now 6-4 out of their last 10 games. They have 14 losses, which means 70 wins. It is out the door. They have not played good basketball as of late, James.
Hey, what's the saying by Jay-Z? It was all good just a week ago. And this happens. Every team has a swoon, right? Boston had that bad 11-10 stretch. Cleveland, for about the last month and a half, their defense has really slipped. And even their offense hasn't been great like it was. But their defense, I think, I looked, and since maybe March 1st, they're like 19th in defense. which is strange because they're two, you know, the two center lineups that have been available, and for the most part, they've had, you know, most of their starting lineup available. So they're saying this is a long season, right? This is what happens. Teams go up and down, and they're having the down at the most inopportune time. Devin, I'm wondering if something's wrong with Donovan Mitchell, if he's injured, because his shooting has been abysmal. I think I ran the numbers, and I want to say he's shooting like 30% from three in March, or even like less than 30% from three in March, and he's scuffling right now. So they, do they have the mental fortitude as the playoffs come about? We saw a couple years ago the Knicks kind of just bullied them, and they didn't look very mentally tough. Let's see if they can have that mental toughness.
Yeah, you bring up Donovan Mitchell and the struggles. We go back and look at the field goal percentage. Let's just go back and look. We can get rid of the Jazz game, right? Because it's the Jazz. This is a team that wants to lose. So I want to erase that from the equation. Three out of the last four losses, he shot 27%, 32%, and 11% from the field. And in all of those games, he was playing more than 30 minutes. That has got to be worrisome.
Has to be. We know he has a very high playoff ceiling from his past. And we know last year he was hurt in the playoffs. So I want to say even the Jazz game, I think he only had 16 points. So he might have shot okay, but, you know, he still didn't have a Donovan Mitchell leading man type performance, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fact check me on that if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. He scored 16.
There you go. So, like, it's you know, hey, that team is deep. Guys like Ty Jerome, there you go. What's wrong with me? Guys like, DeMar or DeAndre Hunter are really good. But, hey, like any team in the playoffs, it's all about the stars. So they're going to go as far as Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and then Darius Garland, you know, rolling third, take them. And if those guys can't start, Darius has been pretty good for most of the year. And even right now he's playing okay, but he's a smaller guard. Same thing with Donovan, he's a smaller guard. That's what these are things that can be fatal flaws, right? Having a weak point that teams can attack. And right now, there's a couple, and the ship is starting to leak a little bit, seems like, in Cleveland.
And the second unit, though, I'm glad you point that out, because when you look at the Cavaliers and you got a Jerome and you have a Merrill and you have a DeAndre Hunter, this is a pretty deep team. And you look at that 8-9-man rotation once we get into the postseason, it's going to look a little bit different. There's no question.
100%, like Boston right now too. So, again, almost like two bizarre teams. They're very heavy at star power, the top four or five guys for Boston, maybe their top five or six. But after that, they have very serviceable guys who can be explosive in moments. But it's all about the stars. And once Boston's going to pare it down to six or seven, maybe eight, and those eight guys are playoff tested, battle tested. Does Cleveland have that same seven or eight? That's what's going to be has to be seen. How does Ty Jerome show up? How does DeAndre Hunter, who's had some decent playoff showings, I think, in the past, but Atlanta hasn't done much. Is he ready for the big time? That's what it's really about, the supporting guys. Can they step up in the moment? And, of course, if Donovan Mitchell's not right, none of that matters.
James, I do want to talk about what some of the teams not in playoff contention going down here over the final 10 games have to look forward to. I was having this conversation with a Jazz fan just last night, as a matter of fact. The salary cap is now going to go up 10%. You have 2016, 2017 to thank for that. We saw, I believe it was a 21, 22% increase in the cap. And you saw a lot of overpay in 2016. And then we saw really underwhelming class the following year as far as money being distributed to free agents. So the NBA has put this deal in where we're only going to see a raise of about 10% per cap. Still, that is a good chunk of change. If you are a team that's going to have cap space moving into the offseason, what an underwhelming free agent class we have upon us. I don't know if you've paid attention to that or not, but when the word came out that the cap was going to go up by about 10%, it was the first thing I looked at. It is pretty underwhelming as to what's going to be out there and where that 10% may go this offseason.
I haven't done a lot of work, but I know I think a guy like Ty Jerome's up. I think Luke, our guy Luke in Boston's up. No matter what, the environment in the NBA now with that second apron, and it's so punitive, not just as far as the tax level, but then what teams can do. So restrictive. I don't think we will see any more of those, hey, why not big contracts get thrown around, because we're seeing that they're hard to move. And I think maybe owners and front offices are a little smarter these days, and then they're going to hold off on giving, maybe some team can offer a Ty Jerome, a Fred VanVleet kind of deal, right? But, like, why? What are you going to do if that in 3 years you want to be paying him, you know, $40 million? You probably don't. I think no matter what, even a team right now that's way under the cap, like the Nets, do you want a $40 million albatross around your neck in case something does pop up in the next 3 years and now you can't take advantage of it because, you know, you got $40 million tied up in your own? So I think, you know, we know there's some bad front offices. We know, you know, I don't want to call your names, but, you know, Nico. But, I don't see that maybe happening. And, you know, it's going to be – we're going to see articles about, you know, what happened to the big free agent splashes.
Maybe Kyrie. I don't know. But that if I'm Kyrie, I'm not going back to Dallas. Maybe he's the biggest get. I don't know.
And I see. I'm going to disagree. I think he knows that was their plan. Dallas is even coming back injured. He's not going to be ready until, what, January next year probably, if not further. He might just say, hey, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. He already has a championship. He's kind of rehabbed his image in Dallas as far as how the fan base views him. Him and Anthony Davis are starting with a really clean sheet because of the big trade and the way the fans view it. I don't see why he would even want to leave. And who wants to give him that money? Who wants to pay, 35-year-old Kyrie, $50 million? If the money's just not out there anymore.
But see, the fact that we're talking about a 35-year-old Kyrie Irving should tell you just how dismal I believe this free agency class is going to be.
100%. I don't see that disgruntled young star.
Nope.
Who has five or six options of where he can go. You know, I think a lot of the young guys are already locked up in their big deals as far as the, you know, coming off that rookie deal. The young stars got their money. The old stars are to the point where, like I said, what team is going to give somebody? Jimmy Butler knew, right? No team wanted to give Jimmy Butler $50 million next year. So, you know, he got lucky. He got traded to a place where he got his money. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you. I want to really give a shout-out to Orlando real quick. We're going to circle back to teams in the playoffs. They are a completely different team than they were for most of the year. But they had Banchero missing for most of the year, then Franz missed a big chunk, and they're rounding in the form. And what we saw against the Lakers is kind of like their ceiling. Those two guys are 6'10 with handle and can score and are nightmares for defenses, and they might – I wouldn't want to see them in the playoffs as a Celtics fan.
I think it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the year with Orlando. Remember, they were such a pleasant surprise, and we looked at this team, and we talked about just how uber-athletic they are. They have a couple of difficult guards. They can score the ball very creatively. This is a team that's been building now for a couple of seasons, and we thought, hey, this might be a top 4, top 5 team in the Eastern Conference. I think you hit the nail right on the head. They went through a lot of roster transition there for a while, and they are getting healthy. They're getting right at the correct time. So I agree with you in that realm.
Sadly for them, though, their big miss is Jalen Suggs. I feel like he doesn't, he might not be on track to be back for the playoffs. That would be the difference maker for them. They don't have enough shooting, though, and they have some nice young guys in the perimeter, but without a guy like Suggs, who's kind of the heart and soul of that defense, I don't see too much of a run, but it's all good experience for a team that young.
James Holis again joining us to talk NBA basketball. James, before I let you go, we talk about where we can find more of you.
Just talking to you, buddy, on X, and I'm trying to get you on Blue, where the sky is blue, at Snotty Drippin', homage to the great Scottie Pippen, the great basketball player Scottie Pippen. He's been really weird these days. But, yeah, just talking basketball and life and posting memes, so come join the fun.
There you have it, James. Always a pleasure. Appreciate the time again.
You the man, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Always fun to get James Holis here on the show. Hey, we've got to pause for just a moment. More coming up. We're going to stick with the national sports scene tomorrow. It's opening day for Major League Baseball, and it is Wednesday, so we're going to catch up with our good friend Bill Lasky. That's coming up when we return.